Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Today's episode of The Instance is brought to you by people like you. We have a brand new support system. Well, it's a couple of... it's a month old, whatever it is. But we made it ourselves, and we're really proud of it. And it's a great way for you to get extras and support the World of Warcraft show you love for all these years. So go check it out. It's over at theinstance.net. You can't miss it. There's a button right there. You smack it. You go in there. You check out the levels. And then you send your love. And there's something affordable for everybody. Real cheap entry-level stuff and some higher-end stuff that some of you may want as well. So go check it out. That's theinstance.net. TheInstance.net.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 564 for Friday, July 5th, 2019. It's a new month, yo. I'm Scott Johnson. Garrett Weinzierl joining me. Hello, Garrett.
Happy 5th of July. Scott, it's like the 4th, but there's not nearly as much decent food around and beer and, well, people are still setting off fireworks, so you've got that.
That's true. You know what's great about living where you live? So Garrett's in Florida. Here's the beauty of living in Florida. Y'all have, it's wet and humid and nobody dries out anytime. It's always just wet. Either you're having floods, hurricanes, or it's just nicely damp, but it's wet all the time, right? So you don't get any restrictions on your fireworks. You can go out there all day, aim at them each other, fire them at cars on the freeway, do whatever you want. Whereas here, they're like, nope, can't have those. Nope, go up, grab, grab.
While I appreciate your attempt to Florida-splain to me, I would say that's not an entirely accurate statement.
Oh, do they have rules? I don't know how they work
have,
over there.
We have quite a few rules and issues with buying fireworks here, sadly.
Oh.
My county does not allow the sale of anything that goes into the air, so you can only get lame-ass fountains and like snakes and sparklers.
Yeah.
So we have to drive one county south and sign a waiver when we buy our fun fireworks that say we're only using them to clear livestock off of railroads.
I love that. Who would have thought that was a use case? I wouldn't have.
Yeah, man. Welcome to Florida, where we still have an amazing amount of agriculture going on a daily basis.
Wow. Fireworks to clear cattle off the damn railroad tracks. That's awesome.
Yep. Yep, that's how we do it here. That's the quest we go on for good fireworks.
Well, it's what's weird here is we have all these rules in the Salt Lake Valley where they're like, don't do this, don't do that. You know, it's because it catches stuff on fire. I understand, right? Like, I'm not complaining. People go up in the canyon and set the mountain on fire for the whole summer. It's terrible. So I kind of get it and I understand it. But when I was a kid, we'd go to Wyoming and get all the good stuff because it was legal up there and then drive it all back down here. Somewhat illegally, and then use them, you know, as sparingly as we could, not to be noticed by anyone who could bust us. But in my adulthood, the weird thing has happened is we still remain super dry in the valley, even though we've had a ton of rain this year. It's like the wettest it's been in a long time. But nonetheless, they're like, yeah, same restrictions apply. You can't do it. And in my neighborhood in particular, the HOA's got even stricter rules about it. So you can't do shit. It's like spinners, freaking pops, you know, those little pop things that look like little sperms in the box. What are those things? What are the pop rocks?
I described them as the exact same way to someone last night. I'm like, are those snaps or pops? What are the things called? I'm basically running down the list of characters that sell Rice Krispie cereal to you. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I loved those things when I was a kid. Those were so much fun.
No, they're amazing, but they're lame, right?
You ever put them down on a hard surface and you try to step on them really hard to see if you can make a pop under your feet instead of throwing them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We put them
under.
Or you
do the thing where you put them in between your middle finger and your thumb and you try and snap like you would snap your fingers, but pop it in your hand.
Yep. Sometimes you get a little Little powder burn. Yeah. Sometimes we would put them underneath a toilet, under the lid. My mom wanted to kill us. You just line them under the toilet and then you slam the lid down really hard to see if you could pop them all at the same time. That was fun. But yeah, like all of that stuff, and like snakes were stupid. I mean, those would just ruin your lungs and the street. But after all of that, last night we go to Orem, which is way on the south end of the other side of the mountain, which is a whole different county, and their rules are way looser. So I'm at this house last night, and they're firing off like stuff that'll tear your hand off your wrist, and you know, things that'll explode and kill somebody or set fire to the house next door or whatever. It was great. Just bam, boom, smack, bow, like so loud we had to put headphones on the little boy, on the kid, because he's too little. He's only 22 weeks old, so he had to.
I saw that this morning when I was perusing the social media. So I was like, oh, look at that little child with those giant earmuffs on. It's so adorable.
Wish my mom would have done that. I hear better now. Anyway,
You know, since our last bonus show was straight from the Blizzard Path, remind me of all of my firework stories. I have many of them. We were bored and liked blowing things up when we were in high school.
Yeah, I think that's it's a rite of passage for a young man of a certain age. Yeah,
it is.
I feel like that's never going to change.
Yeah, matter. You're sneaking into your parents' liquor cabinet, which we didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure which would have been more unsafe.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Well, we're happy to be here. Gonna blow up the news for you. That's a pretty good joke there. Hey, Terpster may join us. Dunno. Patrick is bailing out today because he has to see Spider-Man. Gotta go see Spider-Man.
Oh, this is what happens. See, you send Spider-Man to Europe, and the Europeans think they're superhero now.
Well, yeah, because it's in their backyard. It's in their hometown. They gotta see what the web slinger's up to in old London.
It's not bad enough that you gave the role of Peter Parker to a second Englishman in a row. Now you gotta set the damn Spider-Man movie over in Europe. I don't think so. Okay.
A lot of our iconic heroes
man, you're killing me. Yeah, killing me.
I agree. You're getting.
Next thing you're gonna tell me, Captain America is gonna be an Englishman.
Oh no! Wait, tell me what Falcon? What's his? He's not from Europe, is he?
I don't think I've ever seen an interview with that guy out of character.
Shoot, maybe we might be in trouble. I don't know. We'll see. I like all these Europeans. They're fine. Don't get us wrong. We're not xenophobic. We really aren't. We love you guys. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's get right in. So I know we talked about Morheim last week. We talked about what he said in the interview, his weird exit interview thing, where he's now not under an NDA and he can speak freely. And he was very public, or how do I put this? He spoke very kindly and well of Blizzard. He wasn't like, this wasn't like a tell-all or, oh, I can finally be unleashed and say the things I need to say about the company I once founded that I don't like anymore. Any of those things. He didn't do any of that. It was all very positive and all of that. But it has been like a needle in my arm all week thinking about what it actually means to have Morheim out of Blizzard, off of a gag order, and possibly doing something else, because that is one indication from the interview that he would possibly go do something new. One would assume in the gaming industry, although that's not a guarantee, certainly he wasn't explicit about that. But it feels like a nice place to be able to pontificate and guess and predict a little bit. So let's talk about this. First, just give you a quick recap. He said things like, well, our biggest regret was not getting our MOBA out sooner. It was just a little bit too late. Said things about, talked a little bit about Ghost and why they canceled it, why they canceled Titan. More insight that we've gotten in the previous years about any of those projects. So that was kind of interesting. however, I think it supports this rumor that he got out because he wasn't exactly happy with where things were going. Or at the very least, you're just like, I've done this for 20-something years. I'm tired. It's now a machine that I don't get to actually direct much of. Like it's got its own momentum. So you can't just suddenly say, you know what, Blizzard's going to do something totally different this month. With a company that big, with public stocks involved, with ownership by a parent company involved, like all of those things just limit what Morheim maybe could do creatively. So to me, the rumors have been running in my head like crazy about this is his chance to say, while I'm still relatively young, he's in his 50s, he's got, you know, all the money he needs in the world and would certainly have all the investment he would ever ask for. And probably the ability to attract talent, both old Blizzard and new, to go do something new. I'm going to assume that he probably wants to get back into games and that we're looking at a future where Mike Morhaime founds another games company. The bigger question is it small? Is it large? Is it getting some of the old gang back together? Can we picture something like Mike Morhaime and a creative director, Chris Metzen? Chris has said none of this, by the way. This is purely me just playing around with minutia. And so for the record, he has not said any of this. So this is not insider info or any of this. I'm just saying, you know, if you're Mike Morhaime and you had a connection to your previous people, one of those people would have to be Metzen. I could see a scenario where if Metzen was able to carve out kind of what he wanted to be able to do within this structure, that this could happen. But regardless, he's going to be able to attract old talent from Blizzard, possibly new talent that have nothing to do with Blizzard, and start something new. So, am I completely out there, or do you think he's going to go start a freaking hedge fund? Like, what do you think Morhaime's going to do after all of this, and am I on the right track at all?
My wife has poking her head in the door and showing me the puppy who just woke up, and it's adorable.
Aww, cute.
Yeah, so I've had to kind of come to terms with these interviews for Morhaime, because I was really of the belief when he stepped down that it was just he was ready to kind of pull a Metzen, and he's just like, I'm ready to retire and just, you know, enjoy my life for a little while outside of the game creating sphere. But I'm completely with you. I think you're more or less, that's kind of where my brain's at too. After these interviews, he seems like he's not done yet, is what it sounds like, is the vibe I'm picking up from these interviews, that his head is still in the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pun intended. And, nice. And it sounds like he's got something on the back burner for sure. And it's something that Patrick isn't here, so I'll source one of his tweets that he said Patrick tweeted kind of as much, saying that he thinks, you know, Morhaime is trying to stay in the public eye because he has something that he will be announcing soon. He's just not quite ready to announce it, but he wants to kind of stay out there, keep interest kind of in his name almost as a brand for when the time comes. And I don't think that's a crazy theory.
No, I don't either. I think that's a legit theory. And also, had he not said these things, I wouldn't even be thinking about this. Like, if even he hadn't said, hey, my NDA is up, like, that alone is a statement of, like, I know it's enough to say, well, I can talk about some previous things, but also that's a non-compete is what it is. And he is now free to compete. He's free to go do whatever. And by the way, that may be one of the world's shortest non-competes ever. I don't know how that was arranged.
Especially for someone in his position, yeah, that seems really short.
Yeah, it was it was like 2 years for Pardo or something, maybe a year, I forget. But
yeah, and I don't really know what happened with like Ben Brode and a lot of the original Team 5 guys, because they were pieced out and getting funding for a new studio immediately.
Yeah, they were done and gone. In fact, didn't we hear within a week or something after they left that they had their new project going or something?
Yeah, I mean, not everyone left at the same time, but like I think it was the initial three of like I think it was Hamilton, Brode, and no, the artist didn't leave until Yang Wu left later on. But
right.
Yeah, there was a chunk, you know, there was the formational kind of crew that left all at once. And you know, it's funny. Everything you're just describing is basically the vibe I got on Ben Brode leaving. And this I will also add, this is not inside information, even though I've talked to Ben Brode since. Mm-hmm. But no, this is just, this is nothing that he hasn't said publicly. It just seemed like he was, you know, Hearthstone got a little too big for his creative enjoyment. You know, he wanted to go back and build something again instead of just maintain something. Is very much the vibe I got from things that he said upon leaving Blizzard.
Yeah.
And I can completely understand that. I mean, you know, considering what Mike Morhaime used to do in the early days of Blizzard in terms of being creative and being hands-on versus what he had to do for the past decade and a half, you know, leading that company.
Yeah, all he did was I shouldn't say all he did. I don't actually know what he did on a day-to-day basis, but I know there was a lot of just, it's just managing the giant ship. It's the big stuff that he had to deal with, and dealing with that is fine and great and cool and all of that, but it's a I don't know. It's not what I would want to do if I was a creative. Like, I would be really bored with that after a while. And I think that he felt a very strong sense of duty toward the company. And that's why he stayed at that the helm for so long. And remember, like, Frank Pierce just kind of disappeared into the background. And not to say he doesn't do anything at Blizzard, but, you know, he's not up front and center on a lot of stuff. And he's just sort of been there and does whatever Frank Pierce does. But in the case of Alan Adham, he came, founded the company, technically the true original founder, leaves for a huge long time, then comes back for this stuff they're doing internally, these incubators we keep hearing about. But, you know, clearly he wanted to get out from the management thing and then come back as a more of a creative or more of a director type. And Morheim was just never had that opportunity. He was just never that guy. So this is his chance. And I think this is as big a deal, or I think a bigger deal potentially, than when Rob Pardo left and took all of that amazing talent at Blizzard with him to start Bonfire, which is still hiring yet has nothing to show. I don't know what those guys do over there. I think they just burn money and eat it.
I mean, that's why they named themselves Bonfire. I mean, they're just fueling their fire with piles of cash.
Right. Like,
I have no idea. It's so hard to get excited about ex-Blizzard projects because so many of them, like, don't really, you never see anything out of them.
Yeah. Or it ends up being like one or two guys, they go off and they make something small and fun and you don't even realize they're from Blizzard. Sometimes that works. Like the Torchlight guys all have connections to Blizzard North.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. You're playing a game and then you're like, man, this feels like Diablo. And then you look on the back of the box, you're like, oh, from the people that made Diablo 2.
Yeah,
like,
Diablo. <you're, know. laughs> Right, exactly. Or that, you know, some of those guys went on to do, what's it called? I can't think of the stupid name. I'm so excited about the sequel. I can't think of the damn name. This space game, and I can't think of it. It's supposed to come out this year. Something Outlaw. What's wrong with me? Frick. Anyway, I love the first one. Came out in 2015.
Outer World?
No. Shit. I can't remember the name. Someone in the chat is going to tell me. It's gonna drive me crazy.
Chat will catch up, and then suddenly we'll have an answer.
Yeah, that'll be fine. My brain just isn't working this morning. But anyway, those guys are, you know, got a Blizzard lineage, and they make really cool games. But again, you see it out of these smaller teams. Rebel Galaxy, that's it. Rebel Galaxy Outlaw, sorry. Rebel Galaxy 1 and 2, which is coming, have Blizzard lineage in them. And those are great games. But here's the thing. The big ones have all kind of failed. Like Hellgate London. Famously, some of the best Blizzard people they had off. They go do their own thing. They make a game and it tanks. Bad, bad news. There's been other examples like that where they just, everybody went, oh, what's that? What's not Firelands, Fire something lands, Firefall, Firefall.
Firefall.
Remember Firefall? They had that giant booth every
year. I played it at the first MLG I went to. It was actually kind of fun.
It is. It was okay. I played the beta or part of a beta run or something. But it completely tanked, and those were all ex-Blizzard people. So it's not a guarantee of anything. But if you're Mike Morheim, it might be. If you're Rob Pardo, I think the jury's out. Like, so far, Bonfire has just hired expensive people, and we've seen nothing else. Like, we don't know what they're doing. So I don't know. But anyway, the whole point of this is to say, this is Mike Morheim, the founder of Blizzard Entertainment, one of the most influential and arguably important brands in the history of video games, publishing, and development, saying that he may go do something else. And I think that's a big deal. So at this stage, all we can do is wonder, like, who knows? But they've got enough money to do whatever they want, and it could be awesome, or it could be terrible. So it's all speculation, but I'd love some emails and stuff from people who, you know, maybe have some ideas of what they think that could turn into. At the end of the day, to me, it just all comes down to what does Mike want to do? He's young enough to keep going. I don't think that guys like him typically don't just, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go fish. You know, people don't do that generally. Guys in their position usually want to just keep going and keep going and keep going until they can't go anymore. Then again, you got guys like Metzen who understandably was like, nah, I'm good, and just wants to spend time with his family. But could a Mike Morheim type come to a Chris Metzen type and talk him out of retirement? I think it's possible.
Oh, man. If only I had something that happened in Warcraft to point to that is very much the scene you were describing.
If only there was a character who was a lot like and even voiced by Chris Metzen who seems to come out of retirement to come back and get stuff going again. Yeah, that would be crazy, right? If they had a mirror image.
Only art imitated life.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that too a little bit, but
yeah.
Anyway,
it's good.
Yeah, it is good actually. That scene or that cutscene is really good. It's
solid.
It warms my heart. And they had the I guess somebody, I can't remember who did it, posted on Twitter the image of that day they all recorded it. So you had a couch and it had Metzen, Christy Golden, what's her name? Who does Jaina? Can't think of her name all of a sudden. Names are bad this morning. Who else? And Taron Gregory all there because he directed it, I guess. And that just looked like the greatest day of all time. Like, how much fun was that to make? And I'll bet Metzen probably misses a little bit. Probably just a little bit, you know? So maybe, just maybe, Mike comes a-calling, knocks on his door. Hey, Chris, get out of bed. Put on some pants. I got a question for you. Comes to the door. Says, hey, what if we started our own company and we kept it small? What if we kept it to, like, you know, two or three important principal people and then we get to choose everything else and we never go public and we never sell to some other company and we just make the games we want to make? Like, I don't know about you, Garrett, but that makes my tenders tingle just a little bit.
Well, I don't want to stand between you and tingling tenders.
No, so. The tingling tenders need their own space. I can tell you that.
Yeah, they would have to. I think they would have to do something small. I think the larger kind of public, for lack of a better word, failures you've all mentioned were kind of large, big bets in a gaming landscape. And I think I don't think you can do that if you're starting something new, no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Something on the small side first.
Laura Bailey, by the way, is the name I couldn't remember. Sorry, Laura. I even kind of know her through Liam, and I was an idiot there for a minute. Hey, I wanted to play something for you real quick because this is not in the notes and I just thought this would be cool and then we'll get on with it. Bo Schwartz, you know him, plays a lot of games with us, is on a few shows with me and all that. You know who Bo is, duh. Why am I even saying that? Anyway, Bo Schwartz.
No, I don't know Bo. He's only done badass music for Into the Nexus.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because that's kind of in the vein of what we're going to look at here. So he wrote, if I can find it, hold on a second. There it is. He wrote a guitar treatment for, remember the Invincible song that Russell Brower wrote for Arthas's horse?
Oh, no, I don't remember the song written for my favorite video game character of all time. No, I'm sorry. What are you talking about here?
They're dumb questions.
Just give me our
they, time. They really are, though. They're dumb because I know all of this about you, yet I'm asking them anyway. But here it is. I'm going to play just a little bit of his.
You're setting me up. It's like you're setting me up to riff.
It's all good though. But here's what Bo did for a brief moment. He put together a guitar arrangement, electric guitar arrangement of Invincible that sounds really good. And I just wanted people to hear a taste of it. So check this out. And it just kind of goes like that, but it's great. It's really good.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I just want to give him a shout out.
He's such a better guitarist than I will ever be.
Talented bastard. He doesn't do enough music. I've told him he just needs to be cranking out. If he cranked out a bunch of really cool game music all the time, he'd be like this huge sensation on like Twitch and YouTube and everything.
I've been having the music itch again. It comes and goes once a year.
I've never heard you play. You should play something. You should pull out your guitar right now and play it. Should do it right now.
Oh, well, I'm not going to because the string is broken and it's all the way over there and I don't want to move.
All right, fair enough. Look, you have a lot of bad pork in you. I understand. It's fine.
Damn you, 4th of July.
Let's talk about World of Warcraft for a minute. Still playing the patch. Things are going fine. I wish I was more motivated for whatever reason.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm like the master of that jellyfish quest that everyone hates.
Tell me about it. Tell us about the quest. I don't know that I've even seen it.
You gotta jump on the jellyfishes, Scott. You gotta jump on the jellyfishes and save the cute little baby squid.
I hate it so much. I hate it.
Oh, dude, I get it the first try every time. I don't know what everyone's problem is.
I forgot which one you were talking about. I got up there when it popped as a world quest.
Get on my level, everybody. I'm going to go pro in World of Warcraft, but not in any of the esports that you think. I'm going to create a new one that's just doing the jellyfish quest in your first try.
It's so bad, you guys. I'm glad that you're killing it with that. But whenever they introduce platforming elements into World of Warcraft, giant frustration meter just explodes in my head because the game's not meant for that. It's not good at platform mechanics. It's like the worst. And I used to think the turtle thing with flipping the match game you did was the worst quest of all time. Or the one where it's a top down and you're trying to get the turtle to the freaking finish line. Nope. Turns out not the worst. The worst is this jellyfish bullshit that Garrett likes. I don't know why you like it. Explain why you like it.
I like it because everyone hates it, and I get it done very quickly.
Oh, it's because you're good at it. That's what you're saying.
That's why I like it, because I get to like tease everybody who's like, it's the worst quest. I'm like, well, I get it on my first try. I don't know what everyone else's problem is.
Chat room's reminding. Courtney says they've nerfed it. Did they nerf it? I missed that. If they nerfed it. Maybe they did.
Oh, did they nerf it? Oh, yeah, okay.
Maybe it got easier. I don't know. Whatever, you already mastered it, and it's hard for them.
I totally understand why people don't like it. This is the kind of... Anything where I just can't play my character and kill things with spells bums me out for the most part.
Yeah.
So I get that. But I don't think it's nearly as bad as some of the Kirin Tor quests were in Legion. I hate those things so much.
Give me an example. Like, there was a similar...
Well, there was the floating bubbles one where you had to like move from bubble to bubble while they were in the air and moving.
Yeah.
That one was okay. The one where you like had like it would boost you off the waterfall and you had to keep landing in the right areas to continue boosting. I never got that one. That was my jellyfish quest. I thought it was crap. I just avoided it every time until they added flying, and then I went and completed those quests by just flying to where I needed to go.
Yeah, I hated those too. Oh my gosh, those were bad. You know, part of my problem is I've been playing a lot of Mario Maker, and Mario Maker is this reminder of like, oh yeah, right, Mario, the greatest platformer of all time with precision and mechanics and all of that. So then when you tell me to do this shit on a big old on a bunch of freaking squids, it makes me want to pull my eyes out and eat them. It's awful.
You're comparing the greatest platformer of all time to a shoehorned MMO quest, to a one-off shoehorned MMO quest.
Well, that's my point. So that's exactly my point, though. Exactly. Well, my point.
I've got this rusty old Vespa scooter with one tire, and I've got a Mercedes AMG. Let's see which one is the better driving experience.
No, you're right. I mean, it's not fair to totally compare it to that. But because that's been in my head and I've been playing it every day for about a week, I think I'm just, man, as soon as I saw that, I went, oh, no, they're going to make us jump on this shit, aren't they? And like, I saw them all stacked up, and I saw people falling off left and right. I'm like, really? You're going to make me do this?
You need to stream WoW more often, because the thought of watching you just like walk up to this like awe-inspiring view of jellyfish and going, I'm going to have to jump on that shit, aren't I?
The best
Scott Johnson stream.
I think those words actually came out of my mouth. I think I said, oh shit, they're going to make me jump on this, aren't they? I think that's exactly what I said. It's really bad, you guys. Anyway, it exists. It's a thing. But it's fine. I'm just not, this is a me thing, everybody. Okay. So I'm not saying this is a problem with the game, although maybe it is, I don't know, but I just find this new stuff, it's just not grabbing me, and I don't know why. I think it's beautiful. I think the zones are insane. I think it's super cool. I think I've hit this spot at the moment, and I always come around from it. These are the patterns where I just can't tab target cooldown for a while. I think I just need something. I don't know. I don't know what I need. I've been playing other games, and what happens is I'll get into WoW, and I'll be going, oh, I could do this, or I got all those quests to finish in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Or I'll say, I could do this, but, you know, I'm hearing real good things about that Slay the Spire patch, you know, like, I don't know what it is, but I'm kind of in that mode, and I'm super stoked that you're not, because then we can talk about it in a way that we're giving, you know, we're getting two very different perspectives on this stuff.
Yeah, dude, the only thing I am mad about at the moment is that, like, raid opens up when I go on vacation.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's bumming me out right now.
Yeah, you're off to the Keys right when it happens, right?
And yeah, I got to stop vacation in July. The thing is, I don't have a choice if I want to go for free.
Well, plus this is when people vacation. You're just sort of
But like freaking Hearthstone is like, hey, card reveal season right when you go on vacation. Yeah. And WoW is like, hey, dope new raid that you want to see right when you leave.
Yep. That's kind of how it goes.
Blizzard timing is not great.
I want to see. I mean, this is kind of dumb, but I want to see Lion King real bad, and I'm going to be gone that weekend for a birthday trip. And I won't be able to see where I'm going. So it's things like that.
Listen, Scott, the good thing is it's already out and you can watch it whenever you feel like and get the whole experience of The Lion King.
Because in your mind, the animated one will be clearly superior to anything they do with this live action CGI.
I am excited for the voice cast.
Yeah.
I think the voice cast is really cool. The only thing I can't really get past is Scar because it's just like so ingrained in my memory. But everything else, I'm like, oh, that's a really cool choice for that character.
Yeah, Scar is a hard one to change. I don't know why I'm excited about it. I don't even care about most of these live action remakes or CGI mixed with real scenery remake things they make. I don't have a problem with them, but I don't care about them. I'm not like rushing out to see them. I didn't see the Beauty and the Beast thing. Still haven't seen Jungle Book. Haven't seen Aladdin. Haven't seen the other one. There was another one.
Dumbo.
Oh, Dumbo. Didn't see that. I'm sure they're great to whoever they're great for. It's not interesting to me, so I'm not rushing out to see them.
They need another live-action Warcraft movie. That's what they need to do.
I agree. Ooh, I'm glad you said that, because we have to actually transition for that. But my point was, the only one I'm actually excited about is Lion King, and I don't know why. I don't know why that interests me. I feel like it just is well-suited for the treatment and could be real cool, but I guess we'll see. But speaking of Warcraft, the movie, hey, you want some movie props? Because now's your time from July 1st to July 12th. So you got, more than a week.
Man, I could get myself an Alliance Council meeting chair for $150.
It's not too bad. They're having the prop store is having an auction on all these original props, costumes, suits, and armor, and all the stuff from the Warcraft film. You know, that Warcraft film from 2016 that did really well. Not really.
Yeah, it was just a... It's just a runaway success, so much so that it launched the cinematic universe.
This is true. By the way, so let's take a look at a couple of these. A green orc VFX reference bust. So somebody sculpted a reference bust of an orc. Current bid is $475. It is the asking bid is $500. So I guess we'll see how that goes. They've got Lothar's boomstick, which is basically just a gun. That's currently at $325.
Yeah, it's a cool looking prop.
It looks pretty good. Lothar's Forest Excursion Shield is basically just like a Alliance shield. Current bid is $400. This is all going for less than I expected, if I'm being honest.
You still got some days left, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but how many?
Twelfth. This is going for a while.
I guess it's.
I would imagine some of the stuff to go for a lot more than it's currently sitting at. But, you know, it's also, there's so many items. I'm sure some of this is going to go for way lower than you think.
Yeah, let's see. For example, the three.
Oh, one of these shields. The shields, I think, are the coolest props.
Yeah. What about these? I mean, the suits of armor interest you at all? Is any of that?
I actually didn't love how they styled the armor in the movies.
Me either.
A little hokey.
Yeah. Well, Warcraft's hard to do, right? Like,
It is difficult to do, which is why I kind of just want like a full CG Warcraft movie.
Yeah, I mean shields and armor and stuff are cool. Like that's not a problem. Oh, look at that. Okay, you can get the Alliance Knight VFX half sword. So it's basically a sword with a bunch of reference dots on it for mocap.
Yep, that's common in fight scenes, so you don't hurt people. So you can do like a full slash through without actually hitting the person you are. Acting across from.
Yep. And this thing's currently $75. I'd get one of those. That's cool. Let's see.
I'm like scrolling through. I'm like all the way down like the things that are going for $50 at the moment. There's orc VFX feet and they look like the jump trampoline moon shoes from the 90s. They're hilarious looking.
I'd wear those. I would put those on my feet, no problem. Let's see. There are some gloves. There's another boomstick or a hand cannon. I mean, there's some neat stuff in here, I guess. If I go down to, boy, there's a lot of it too. Holy shit. I just went to page 20, which is the final page. There's 20 pages of this. And let's see. Travis Fimmel's Lothar crushed armor is pretty cool. I would hang that on the wall or something. But anyway, if you're into this sort of memorabilia, it's up. It's available. If you want to wear Garona's stunt double's orc slave costume, which is maybe a little creepy, that's up there. That's available. There's spurs if you want some spurs for your horse. An orc.
I want the horse armor because the horse armor was one of the coolest props out of this movie. I think it sold with the last auction they did, though.
But look, if the horse armor is more than $3.99, I'm not buying it. Get the reference. Get the joke. It's from Elder Scrolls Oblivion. Remember when they sold horse armor and everyone freaked out because it was $3.99?
Pretty good. I thought you were going to say that if I sub for 6 months, they'll give me a Warcraft prop.
No, that'd be cool, though. That'd be all right.
I'm going to continue talking about things that people are mad about for reasons that seem silly to me.
I agree. That six-month thing is just another promotion, and they do them all the time, and I don't know why that would make people mad, but it's a very weird thing to get mad about. I think what it is, you know what it is? It's this. It's just dogpiling. It's like they're already mad at Blizzard for X, Y, and Z. And so when, you know, V comes out, the other thing to be mad about, or the other thing that's normally innocuous, they get mad and think, oh, adding on to the rest of it. Now they want 6 months of me and they're doing it for a thing. Otherwise, I got to pay 25. Like, that's just them piling it all in together. You can't do that. It's too big for that. You can have your criticisms and say, well, the patch isn't good, or this, I don't like the way this plays, or my class is lame now, or what. You can have all of these things to say, and you should. It's just a 6 month promotion to get more WoW. Like, that's what companies do. Like, welcome to the world where they get you to do things and you spend money to do it, and they give you a bonus if you buy in. Like, hello. Are y'all just waking up? Did you just not buy video games up till now? Like, this is the strangest outrage to me, that whole thing. Which still continues to this day. This whole week, there were people.
Gotta get the sweet YouTube views, Scott. We're doing it wrong.
Clearly, after all this time. All right. We got a WoW Classic update. I'm actually going to read the post because this is interesting if you are interested in what's going on in WoW Classic. It says this: thank you very much to everyone who helped test the closed beta for WoW Classic. Over the last several weeks, we have reviewed over 17,000 bug reports from testers. These led to our verification of hundreds of new and unique bugs. Your efforts have directly contributed to making WoW Classic a better experience for everyone when it opens to the world on August 27th, which, by the way, is a lot closer than it seems. Like, we're going to be there in a month and a half. Well, a month and a little more than a half. Almost 2 months, let's say that. We have now reached a stage where WoW Classic is in a good state for recounseling. Sorry. Yeah, no, that's right.
Reconciling.
Oh, reconciling. Why does that look like it says recounseling to me?
Because it does.
I guess so.
That is how you spell council.
Yeah, I screwed that up. Anyway, they're talking about the remaining issues, and we intend to shift our focus away from the closed beta, which will end on July 12th. Another thing ending on the 12th. Internally, we're working through the aforementioned bugs and those fixes, testing the high-level zones such as Eastern Plaguelands, and doing our raid testing. We'll make sure Ragnaros and Onyxia are ready to go. As for what's next, the final stage test is now coming up on July 25th through 26th. It says they've changed this date since they first announced it. I don't remember what it was, but this is not the same date.
I don't remember them first announcing the final stress test, but
it may have been like a forum post or who knows.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Just missed it.
During our global test, we will roll out our multi-region hardware in preparation for the worldwide release of WoW Classic. In addition to getting many more testers to play through the initial leveling experiences, it will be a test of the fixes and tweaks that we've made or are making to the game. We're planning on a small in-game event to end the closed beta on July 12th. That's interesting. We'll see you there for that. And we'll post reminders for you just before the stress test, as well as reminders in August as we gather for name reservations and ultimately for the release of WoW Classic. Thank you, they say. So, here's my question. What do you think that event is? in WoW Classic.
Another big, they're going to spawn world, you know, bosses out into the world. And that's what they usually do when they turn the servers off.
Nothing more than that. No, nothing special. You don't think they're just going to go, hey, check it out. Ragnaros is suddenly in a river up the road. Oh, no, shit. Everybody go. Like, that's it. Do you think?
I mean, what else can you do? I mean, if I were them, I would sow some teases for BC Classic and spawn some BC bosses and just no warning. Here's Mac Theridan. Whoa, wait, what?
Yeah. I mean, yes. But doesn't that go against the whole point of Classic, right? Aren't some purists going to go, you couldn't do this in vanilla. You never did it till BC. How come you're doing it? Like,
it's the closing of the server. You can do whatever the hell you want. Go nuts.
People are going to get weird. People are weird, man. Vanilla purists are a brand of human that I've never encountered before until lately.
Oh, yes, you have. You've been on the internet for a long time.
I have. I've been on it since its inception in 94 when you were a seven-year-old, I'd like to point out. and that all of that time, I don't know that I've ever run into anybody quite like a WoW purist, like a vanilla purist. There's something. Oh,
dude, I need to get you in the cars and you need to join some car communities because let me tell you.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
You're in a good place for cars, by the way.
Car people are.
Utah is incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, we love cars. Utah is huge about their cars, you know, and we like to take them out on the salt flats and look like Knight Rider. That's what we like to do.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Plus, when I was growing up, I mean, my dad was a car dealer. I should qualify that.
Let me tell you about muscle cars versus imports, and then even further into that, the granularity of tribalism within those individual larger genre of cars.
Oh my lord, that's intense. I don't know if I do. I don't know if I want that in my life. I think that's too much. I just need to know that is my VW running okay? My point
is, this is life, Scott, and you can choose to be befuddled by it and let it affect your well-being, or you can just ignore buttholes on the internet and move on with your day.
I like it. I'll take column two, please. Sounds good. All right. Well, that's what's going on with Classic. It continues to hurtle Tortoise, and I know a lot of people are excited about it.
The release of Classic is good timing.
Yeah.
I will not be traveling and very ready to level slowly.
There you go. Grind that shit. Hey, look at that. It's time for us to talk about elsewhere in Blizzard. Overwatch, there's really nothing happening. I mean, people are shooting each other. It's fun. But it's not, you know, there's no big news in the world of Overwatch. However, in the world of Hearthstone, big, big news. New expansion.
Yeah, man.
Give us the basics. What happened here?
The League of Explorers are back. The new expansion is called Saviors of Uldum. We're heading to Uldum for a Hearthstone expansion. And Reno Jackson and Sir Finley Murgleton and Bran Bronzebeard and Elise Starseeker, they're all back. We haven't seen any of their cards, so I don't know if they're going to be thrown back to what they used to do or what. But it looks really good. It's the best song they have made for an intro trailer, I think, ever. It is 80s as hell.
Someone in the chat says, Scott, how many times have you listened to it? I said once. And the reason I only listened to it once is I know if I keep doing it, I will either hate it or that's all I'll hear in my head because it's very catchy. It's
you're going to be dancing around your home singing it. That's what you're going to do.
It's earwormy as hell. And
I mean, it's very similar to I Need a Hero. So.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely are aiming for that. It reminds me when TV shows do that or like Futurama or something. They'll just have a few bars that are very familiar, but then they have to tweak it so they don't have to pay anybody. It's a bit like that, but it's good.
If I had a dollar for every non-copyright infringement version of Back in Black I have ever heard.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Like, wait, that's not it. That's not it.
Yeah, they have to just take it up an octave and jack it up.
It's like we go back up and set it down. Oh, wait, nope, that's not it.
Yeah. Anyway, so what I keep hearing is that, like, mechanically, there's big changes here that make old cards fun again and stuff. Like, what can you say anything about that?
They haven't shown us enough to really say that, so I don't know where you're hearing that. We've seen, like, seven cards.
Where did I see? I think it's Kotaku or Polygon or somebody had an article that said, Hearthstone's new expansion aims to shake up the mechanics and make old cards great again or some headline like that. And maybe that's
That seems like a stretch and a half based on the information we have received from the announcement. I mean, it's like it's Hearthstone. Their Hearthstone cards doing what Hearthstone cards do.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a new mechanic, but that's not the first time this has happened. We get new mechanics pretty frequently. Yeah, we got a new keyword in Reborn, which looks really sweet. There will be plague cards for the villain classes because they're still doing they're basically like story wise they're going to connect all the expansion this year. So Rise of Shadows, which had like all the villain characters stealing Dalaran, is coming now into Sabers of Uldum. And so like the whole story is that your League of Explorers are trying to defend Uldum from the League of Evil, which just pilfered Dalaran.
Wow.
But I mean, that's just like a fun little story beat. As far as mechanics are concerned, I mean, we haven't seen enough cards. I can't really speak to that. They showed two quest cards, which are really sweet. Mm. And there's a warlock deck that we're all pretty excited about right now, but it only uses one old card in terms of how we've been kind of theory crafting it would work. So it's not like suddenly hundreds of old cards we haven't used. They're just like, oh my God, we're going to be able to play with them. It's I would say it's a pretty, you know, this is kind of what we expect when we get Hearthstone expansion announcements.
Well, Uldum is one of my favorite settings in the entire World of Warcraft. Like, I love it. And I'm into that as a backdrop. So, you know, the idea of them adhering to that is super cool to me. I guess we'll see if the... did they say anything about adding anything to the single-player stuff as it's currently constituted? Was there any talk of that?
They didn't talk about the single-player stuff at all.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. There was an interview recently. I cannot remember for the life of me where it was, but they were talking about how, like, they spaced out stuff intentionally because the Rise of Shadows single player didn't come out until like a month after the expansion launched, and they said it was entirely intentional. They wanted to, you know, kind of keep the interest in the game going and spread things out better. And I think they've done a really good job of that. So I think they'll probably talk about the single player stuff by itself at a later date and announce a later release date for the single player stuff.
Mm. So we had this extended discussion on Core this week about Blizzard replacing some Hearthstone card art with less violent, less sexualized alternatives.
I'm already so done talking about this.
I know. You probably said all you want to say, but here was my basic take. And then I want to hear your basic take or your bottom line take. My big take is I don't think it's a little disingenuous for Blizzard because of their response, because they put out an official response to this. It didn't strike me as the most honest response. I think basically they're just saying, yeah, we want to, I don't know, clean this thing up a little bit, make it better for a more broad audience, easier in China, you know, overly sexy stuff is kind of thing we're moving away from. We're trying to be more inclusive and less sexist about that kind of stuff. And so we're going to, I wish they would just say that instead of coming out with, we're always evolving. It was the most PR freaking boilerplate crap. Yeah. And that annoyed me. I really was like, that's you're just treating us like dummies. This is like telling us that Diablo Immortal is going to make a big splash at BlizzCon because we all have phones. Like, just be honest with us. Talk to us for the people you know we are, and just own it. If it's because you're trying to, you know, whatever your reasons are, just tell me the real reasons and don't act like, oh, well, you know, there's always an evolving art thing to match our art style. And blah, 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 blah. So my take is, Blizzard, just own it and tell us how it is. All right, go. What were you going to say?
I was of two minds because I did think it was really PR, a really PR answer. But at the same time, I felt it would have been pretty easy to deflect to China. Like, because there's a lot of people, we're talking about people who get up in arms about things that might seem silly on the internet. A lot of people really, really angry about this.
Yeah, they're pissed.
And I don't agree with it. Even though I will be honest, like, my gut reaction is this is kind of silly, changing the art. I think it's unnecessary and kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel particularly strong about it. It's their game. They can do whatever the hell they want. And if as an artist looking at the art that's replaced it, it looks way more like Hearthstone cards now. Like, that, a lot of the art that was replaced is old stuff that was reused from the original WoW TCG, and it doesn't fit.
Right.
Hearthstone has really nailed down its style pretty early on, actually. Pretty much like from Curse of Naxxramas onwards, suddenly it was like, oh, this is what Hearthstone looks like.
Yeah.
They just, you know, the original release was an experiment. They worked with what they had. They were on a budget, they had all this art laying around, they just reused it. But once we got the Curse of Daxramas and they started making new art from scratch, Hearthstone really had a style.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, they're not replacing all of the old art. There's still a lot of old art that looks really busted and like nothing like any of the new Hearthstone stuff. So you could point to that. But I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of tired and I don't want to have that argument because I don't care enough.
Yeah, like, I don't care about it.
Whatever. Really. They can do whatever they want. I do think it's a little absurd, but frankly, I was most surprised in that you're talking about the PC Gamer article where they interviewed Dave Kosak.
Yeah.
And it did feel very PR, but at the same time, I think saying, no, it was not China, we want to clean our game up, that was pretty blunt.
Yeah.
And I think they could have had, you know, they could have just said, yeah, you know, we're just trying to keep things a little simpler for China. It's not as easy to have different versions of our game across multiple regions like it is for World of Warcraft. And that probably would have at least stemmed a little bit of the pitchforks. But they didn't. They were just like, yeah, we don't want a lot of cleavage in our game. And I'm just like, wow, okay, you're going to piss off a lot of people and you don't seem to care. So I kind of respected it, to be honest.
It's just such bait for people that want to look at that and say, the PC police are trying to shut down my...
I mean, a little bit. I do have that reaction to a certain degree. And it's also, it's very inconsistent within Blizzard itself. It's not like they're taking succubuses away from Warlocks and World of Warcraft. It's not like Heroes of the Storm, which I think has the widest ranging collection of sexy skins in any Blizzard game. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Overwatch. I mean, Overwatch has really, let's face it, risque skins as well.
Sure.
And that's a game that I kind of tease for being a little too wholesome. Like Overwatch, it's a little too like Burger King's Kids Club, like Saturday afternoon special. Like it's a little too, I'm not as interested in it because I came to Blizzard for stuff that looked like Frank Rosetta paintings, you know, but that's where I grew up. I grew up with like muscle bound dudes with bikini clad women on their legs. And I get that that's not for everyone. And I've had years of it. I've had my fill. I don't need more of it. I'm fine if there's a change in the aesthetic at Blizzard.
How do you feel about Frank Rosetta versus Boris Vallejo? Do you think Vallejo is just a ripoff of?
I'm blanking on Vallejo.
Oh man, his stuff was it's kind of the same, except it was you'd have to look him up, but he was really
looking it up right now. Oh man, yeah, this looks Rosetta as hell.
Yeah, he a lot of people really like his work, but I think it's derivative. Frank Rosetta is the king.
His goes a little more sci-fi fantasy. I definitely would say.
And his is very beefcakey, whereas Frank Rosetta, while occasionally beefcakey, it's also, I don't know, there's a certain edge to his stuff, like that Molly Hatchet album cover and things like that. They're so cool. He's so good.
Yeah, but I mean, this is what I grew up on. It's what I like. Yeah. So, you know.
There you go.
I guess call me a pervert. I don't know.
Put your wieners away. No more succubus. Now it's a fell hound or fell whatever.
He did the Aqua Teen poster.
Oh, really? Oh my gosh!
For their feature length film, there was a Frazetta-esque poster.
That's amazing.
Boris Vallejo did that.
That's pretty good.
I did not know that. That's incredible.
Vallejo also did the first Vacation movie was his with that sort of pose.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's the Army of Darkness poster.
Mm-hmm. Hey, he's good. He's good. He's technically good. I just feel like he's a second run for Zeta. Anyway. Hey, look at this. Heroes of the Storm. Nothing going on really, except I played League of Legends for some reason this week. And I'm a little embarrassed to admit it.
League of Legends, not Teamfight Tactics, just straight up League of Legends.
I played both. In fact, what drove me to install it was Teamfight Tactics, and I want to get my head around it. But then I played a couple of League games because I was like, I really don't know these characters. Like, I need to kind of know who they are and what they do. So let me get in there and just kind of see what's up. And unlike Dota 2, you can't just play every character you want. It's more like the Heroes model, which is there's a rotation and you buy the ones you want to get in League. And so I didn't really know that getting in. But anyway, I have to say, League's kind of cool. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not Heroes, which is my favorite MOBA, but it's fine. There's a reason it's huge. There's a reason people love that game. There's a reason it's bigger than Dota. It's a very fun and what I found to be way more accessible than I expected MOBA. And I didn't play it before this. I think I may have dabbled once or twice in the past, but never enough to say anything. and it's fine. It's good. It's a game. It's a game you can play. You want to play a game? There's one right over there. It's called League of Legends. You want to come over here and play Heroes with me? Great. That's where I prefer to be. I like the gameplay better, but, you know, it's fine. League of Legends, you're fine. All right. I don't know why I even went down that path, but I did. And Teamfight Tactics is pretty cool. It's all right. It's those games, these auto chess things are all kind of similar in almost every way, except I think that one has a better aesthetic to it. I like how it looks. Just the way they handle, like, bringing your dudes in and out. They portal in. The levels look cool. The sound, I like the sound work a lot better. There's something about it that I think I kind of prefer to the Valve thing, but I still think the Valve gameplay is really good. So yeah, it's all small stuff, but I think the aesthetic of the Riot effort is pretty good. You had any chance with that? You play with it at all? Or mess
no,
with
I haven't. I've been busy with the Hearthstone kind of blew up this week. So I was just like, oh, I got stuff to do. I haven't had time to play TFT or even Underlords, which I've already, you know, played.
Yeah, that's true. Been that kind of week for me. I've been making Mario levels, see? I had to make a lot of Mario stuff this week, so I've been real busy.
Yeah.
Real busy.
You know, had quite the shakeup on Angry Chicken lately, so we've been trying to do the conversion to a two-man show and just been busy.
It's tricky.
It is. I don't know. You've had so many host changes over the years on this show.
Yeah. We share a host change, in fact. But yeah, like when that...
Right, you are very right. It's difficult. It is difficult. So it's been a busy week, and I found myself in the evenings kind of stressed out. So I just sat down and played with dinosaurs in Jurassic World Evolution and didn't talk to anybody.
Is that on sale? It's on sale, isn't it?
If the Steam summer sale is still going, it should still be like $13. It was very cheap.
I'm going to get it. You've convinced me.
It's a good game, man. It's a good one to add to. I always talk about my toy soldier games, and it's usually like Total War or Civilization, like these things where I just like play alone. I just go and turn off the lights and pretend I'm a troglodyte and just play with my toy soldiers.
Also, a fan of such things. You've described me. I think I'm gonna go get it. I am gonna get it. What am I saying? I'm gonna get it right after this. I'm getting it. Well done. Thank you. All right, time for a quick email, and that starts with this.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, time for a quick town crier. This is an email sent to us via this email address, theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. You are also encouraged, if you so will, to send us your voicemails. 801-471-0462 is where to send those. This comes to us from Ray, and he has some WoW app ideas. He says this: greetings, gents. Last episode, you all talked about the under usage of the WoW companion app. I totally agree, and I have a $1 million idea on how they could use it. Archaeology in augmented reality. Just like Pokemon Go, and with its use of GPS to find and recover pieces to different artifacts from WoW lore and from the already robust archaeology profession, there could be turn-in areas, in-game rewards, interaction with mobs like Murloc guards and so on, and regional items. AR is somewhere in the future for gaming, and Blizzard could easily get into this new frontier. Thanks for the many hours of amazing WoW insight, Ray. I didn't read this last week. Did they say I read it last week? No.
I thought we read this last week.
This exact thing? About archaeology.
I can check real fast.
Yeah, we have it in our notes. Hold on. I'm looking.
Nope, that's definitely a different email.
Yeah, we didn't read that last week. How about the week before that?
Never mind. Yeah, no, this is definitely not from last week.
Oh, you know what?
You know, it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. You're right. We did. Yeah. Shit. It did sound familiar. Did we read it? I thought we skipped it and I copied it forward. I don't think we did. They say we did.
It did sound familiar.
All right. Well, anyway, here's the thing. I don't remember us actually talking about it. Maybe we read it and got distracted because there was five of us here or something. Here's my thinking here. The problem with the I know we didn't talk about it because I didn't say this. Archaeology is a option. It's not a requirement for every player, meaning it's not a part of everybody's gameplay routine. And so if you're going to tie the two games together, meaning the app and WoW proper, you would all have to have that profession. And maybe that would be the way they do it. But I like the idea as a concept. I think the other way you do this is just straight up do pet battles, because they're already all over the game, and that's already a thing. So for you to go out and do augmented reality and whatnot, that'd be it. Just do that.
Yeah, Pet Battles has been on the forefront of my mind, I think, since the first time I ever heard Terpster mention it on this show years ago.
Yeah.
But any of these are all things I don't do in game because I find them pretty mundane when I'm in World of Warcraft proper. But I don't fish, I don't archaeology, I don't pet battle. But if it was something that I could do on the go while still, you know, having some impact on my, you know, my World of Warcraft character and progression, I'd be really into that.
Mm-hmm. I would too. I would be totally into it. Even the fishing part, especially the fishing probably. Because I hate fishing in the game, but I like it as a small mini game out, you know, like I look for fishing games on iOS. I'm like, hey, what's a cool, dumb fishing game I can play at the dentist while I'm waiting for my appointment? Like, I'd go out of my way to do that. But in a video game, like at my desk with a mouse and a keyboard, I don't want to fish. I don't want to fish there. So yeah, Pet Battle app. This archaeology idea is a good one. Maybe just professions in general. So why couldn't a miner, you know, be out in the world and AR, so your phone buzzes, you pick it up, and there's a thing to mine in the corner of some street. Like, I don't know. All of those things are cool. I think AR is a great aspect of gaming moving forward. Phones are not. Like, it's a cool thing. I also think that VR is cool, but I think that mixed reality is the future, and I'd love to see more Blizzard in that regard. I mean, the rumor is they're working on some sort of GPS-based Pokemon Go-like game internally that did sort of leak as a, I don't know what the sources were like, but there was a lot of talk about that. And we don't know what that is, though.
There's three teams. One is Terran, one is Protoss, one is Zerg, and it's StarCraft-based.
Let's do it. I'm in. I'm ready. My body's ready.
You got to defend your bases, and you must construct additional pylons, Scott.
It's great. Do I do it in AR? I can just like be at the coffee shop, hold up my phone, and put a pylon in the middle of the table there.
Yep. Okay. Except I'll be building like a marine bunker because I'm totally gonna claim Terran if I do that, and our good friend Kyle Ferguson will be farting overlords out into the sky.
Great, that's where he should be.
It'll be a good time.
Thank you, Ray, for your email. And I don't think we read this. I think we've had discussions that were like this, but I don't think this got read. It's in the list, but I copied those out because we didn't get to them.
But I don't remember talking about augmented archaeology specifically.
Yeah, and
I remember talking fishing with Terpster.
Oh, guarantee we did that. Yeah. And we also, the other email that day from Tim was about WoW gold farming, which I still have in the shooter. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read it. I'm just going to get it out of the way because I know we didn't talk about this.
That one we definitely did last week.
Did we do this one for sure?
Yes, the one about gold farming in Classic and how that's going to affect the game. We 100% talked about that one.
You're right, we did.
Yeah, because I distinctly remember talking about it because the thought I had been having. I'm like, if you're legit and not bringing the WoW token, that just brings gold farming back.
Yep.
That's just now an issue again.
You're totally right. We did read that one. We love your emails, and you can send more in theinstance@gmail.com or those voicemails, as I mentioned before, 801-471-0462. Before we get out of here, a reminder that we do all kinds of extra stuff here and around the Frog Pants Network. That includes what Garrett's got going with amove.tv. Garrett, what's happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, we've got a brand new 2-hour episode of The Angry Chicken talking all about both art being changed, although this is before the official statement, even though we asked for a statement and didn't receive one. I don't know why PC Gamer's getting all the love. So you'll hear us you'll hear Jocelyn make a really, really solid case for why China would influence this. And then the next day that PC Gamer article came out.
Oops. Well, I like her solid argument, so I would listen to that regardless.
But we also spent a very good amount of time talking about the new expansion, going card by card over the new cards that they did reveal. So if that interests you, you should check out The Angry Chicken. Brand new episode of Into the Nexus went up Wednesday. And Let's Talk About Star Wars is now weekly. So if you want to hear Tom Merritt and Jenny Josephson and I talk about Galaxy's Edge, they have both gone. I am in Florida where it is not open yet. So I have not. But part one of two of our two-parter Galaxy's Edge episodes have just started. Just went up this week. Go give it a listen.
Didn't Jenny go? She's been twice now, right?
No, just once.
Just the one time. Damn, damn her. Well, it sounds great to me. Do check that out. That's amove.tv. Of course, everything else you need from me is over at frogpants.com/podcasts or other stuff at frogpants.com. So do check it out. We are at the instance.net, instance show on Twitter. You can find more great shows like this at frogpants.com.
What? Sign up for the Instance support package.
Oh, yeah, do that. The Instance support loot system is available now, and a bunch of you have gotten in lately. Had a great uptick last week. Don't know what happened, but a bunch of you got stoked about it. You should, because there's great stuff to be had. It's a brand new month, and if you haven't gotten in, now's the time to do it. We run this as a grassroots effort. It is not something pre-made for us. We made it ourselves, and we're very proud of it. Go check it out and look at what the levels will offer you over at theinstance.net. There's a big old button. Can't miss it.
Big old button.
It's like the Memoron. The Memoron button. It's just like that. Go click.
Oh, it's like what used to be in Hearthstone.
Oh, I should go put that in there. Anyway, please do that. We'd appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for watching live. That's going to do it for us. We should see the Europeans next week. Are you gone next week or the week after that? I can't remember now. Week after that. So am I the week after that. It's my birthday. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.